The Go-Go is in vacation. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 9 o'clock. And before we go over to Circus World for Circus Week Live, we got to give you another Scani Summer Statewide text to win Word of the Hour. Now, this hour, you are going to text us the word baseball. Baseball is your Word of the Hour. Remember, you text us using your free Civic Media app. You can get that from your Google Store or your Apple Store. We're giving away hourly prizes, which include Wisconsin Dell Summer Prize Packs, daily prizes, one winner per day, for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club Level seats, and grand prizes. There's going to be two of those, and you actually get to choose a trip to Fort Atkinson and stay at Cottage on the Lake, including your pontoon boat. You can choose to go to Lake Geneva and stay at Harbor Shores, or go to Door County and stay at the Ridges Inn and Suites. We're even going to give you gas money to get there. But in order to qualify for any of those, you need to text right now using the Civic Media app. Again, your word for the 9 o'clock hour is baseball. And now it is time for Circus Week Live here on Max FM and over on our Facebook page. Let's go over to Circus World right now with Corey Hartman and Scott O'Donnell.
And thank you, Maddie, and good morning, and welcome to Circus World. We are broadcasting live this morning on 99.7 Max FM and the Max FM Facebook page for Circus Week Live, our annual celebration of all things circus, past and present. I'm Corey Hartman from 99.7 Max FM. We're joining you all week this morning from the Feld Theater at Circus World. We'd love to have you join us out here as well in the theater, or just make sure you share this on your Facebook, all right? That's what we need from you today, and we'll send it on over to Scott O'Donnell and say good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Corey.
How are you?
Oh, fine and dandy. It's a nice humid day here in the Boo. You can take a drink just by breathing. Yeah, a little bit, right? Hey, speaking of which, what's the parade day weather forecast update?
Oh, you didn't give me time to look.
Oh, I'll get that pulled up.
I will do that.
I'll talk about how I love when you give it that little punch with your voice. Mm. The Circus Week Live. You got that timbre in your voice, for sure. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday of Circus Week Live. We're thrilled to have each and every one of you listening along as we celebrate all things circus this week long. You got it already.
I got it.
You got the thumbs up.
It's still looking like mostly sunny and 75.
How's the humidity?
It'll be up there because there's a slight chance of an afternoon storm. But
there is?
That's afternoon.
Is that so?
It won't affect us.
How slight?
20%.
Oh, I like those odds.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, good. Say, friends, lots going on in the great city of Baraboo this week. Just to remind you, on Thursday, the kickoff of Concerts on the Square here in Baraboo with Professor Jerry Stitch's All-Star Community Circus Band will be under the blistering baton of Professor Jerry Stitch at 7 p.m. with our own Dave Salutis as a guest vocalist, I've heard. That's worth the price of admission alone, which is free, which is fabulous. So come on out, everybody. Bring your lawn chairs and get some of the Corey Hartman endorsed ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah. It's big chocolate chip cookies.
See? That's what you need.
Vanilla ice cream in between.
It's very Midwest, right? Homemade ice cream, Midwest cookies. Oh, can't get any better than that. Then at the Al Ringling Theater on Friday night, Bravo Dance is presenting their Made to Move at 6 o'clock. They'll also be repeating it post-parade at the Al Ringling Theater at 6 o'clock on Saturday as well. And, of course, the main event of the weekend is the Big Top Parade, which steps off at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. Again, there is some road construction in town, so if you're coming to town to visit, don't worry. Baraboo's got your back. There's plenty of signage around the community to help you find our two shuttle locations, which will be at Slumberland out next to Festival Foods on the west side of town, and then the big parking lot here at Circus World as well. If you're coming in from the east, you can come down 33, make a turn onto Washington, and end right up at that parking lot. We'll take all the anxiety out of your day with us, and you can park and take the shuttle bus up to the parade, complimentary, and it'll be a fantastic day here in Baraboo for sure. Then, before we get going with our guest artists, I'm going to do a shameless plug, Corey Hartman, for some shows coming up at the beautiful Al Ringling Theater.
I hear you have something to do with that now.
Rumor has it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. We are Florin Ziegfelding, the programming at the beautiful Al Ringling Theater, with our first show, which is Chuck Wagner. Now, some of our panelists that we're going to talk to today have had the pleasure of working with Mr. Chuck, and he is a rock star. Corey, let me share some of the things that Chuck has done in his illustrious career.
Please do.
Some of his Broadway theatrical highlights. He was the Beast on Broadway for almost 5 years. He was the original Rapunzel's Prince in Into the Woods, the original company of Stephen Sondheim's iconic musical. He played Javert and Jean Valjean in Les Mis on Broadway and national tours. He was Dracula in Dracula the Musical. He was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the Broadway musical and international tour. He performed alongside Robert Goulet in Camelot. And as if that wasn't enough, he was the singing ringmaster of Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus for two full tours of the 136th and 138th. Even had some ringlets with him.
So really a slacker is what you're saying.
Yes. Hopefully he finds his talent, finds right. his lane.
He'll get there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He even starred, along with our space theme, in a kind of kitschy but a well-beloved show called Auto Man that was on 20th Century Fox and ABC. Not only that, he was on Matlock and Dynasty and One Life to Live, right?
He made the rounds.
He did.
Yeah.
He's going to be here in Baraboo live on stage. When, you might ask? July 12th with a show at 7 p.m. Hey, tickets are on sale now. Couldn't imagine that.
No. Where do you get your tickets?
Where do you get your tickets? You can get them at the Al Ringling Theater. No, alringling.org or at the Al Ringling Theater. The box office is open weekly, Tuesday to Friday from 12 until 4 p.m. And you can go in and see Miss Patty in the box office. She'll take good care of you. Eric Michael Gillette is next on August 2nd. He's another singing ringmaster of The Greatest Show on Earth and another star of stage and screen and Broadway and Vegas showrooms. And then, of course, the iconic, yes, she's going to be here live. And it's really her. It's not an impersonator. It's direct from Las Vegas, Miss Charo herself. Who's going to coochie-coochie-coo over the theater for a fantastic, fun-filled, memorable evening at the Al Ringling Theater on October 11th. And then rounding out the show lineup thus far, more shows soon to be announced, is Gunhild Carling, who is Sweden's musical superstar. She plays 13 instruments while tap dancing. She plays the bagpipe. She plays three trumpets at the same time. Her brother is a circus owner and a wire walker in Sweden, so she has that connection to our hometown heritage as well. Last year, if you were lucky to see her at the Al Ringling Theater, she had a two-hour show. She then paraded up the aisle of the theater and did an impromptu 30-minute concert in the lobby after a two-hour show.
Wow.
Right? I know.
She ate her Wheaties that morning.
She ate her Wheaties. She is full of talent for sure. Gunhild is on December 14th at the theater. Well, we've done a lot of traveling.
We've plugged
everything. Except 99.7 Max FM, but you better be listening to that because that's how you're hearing us here this morning. Say, friends out there and watching along on the World Wide Web, we are joined by some fantastic circus performers and legendary circus families here this morning for a fun-filled hour of what's life like in the circus working with your family and the family heritage of the folks that are with us. So I'm going to start with the lovely young lady who sits right to my left if you're watching along. If you're listening along, she's right next to me on my left. Good morning, Miss Ann Stevenson. How are you this morning?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Cool.
Pleased to be here.
Excellent. I'm going to move your microphone a little closer to you so everybody can hear you. Miss Ann, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family's history in the circus, if you would.
Well, my parents were in the business, and my father came over from Denmark in 1918, I believe it was.
Okay.
And he started out rodeoing. And then it went on to a rodeo clown.
Okay.
And then somehow it transferred over to circus.
As it does.
And he was, back in the day, you did whatever you had to do or whatever job was available.
Kind of like today. Here we are on the radio, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he went into animals. He clowned. He went into animals. And he did the concert after, you know, the performance, the Wild West concert. He did that. And he met my mother. Had my brother, and it just went on and on and on. And then when I came along, I went right into it too. At that time, he was training lions and elephants. And we had our own I had an elephant. And I loved her, and she hated the sight of me. I loved her so much, and she just couldn't stand me. Any chance she got, whap.
Nice.
But then we went on, and my father went back to clowning when he went to Ringling Brothers. In 1969, he joined Ringling Brothers and was in Clown Alley. And I decided I wanted to go too, so against my mother's better judgment, I took correspondence courses for the last year of high school and went on the road with Ringling. That's where I met my husband, Frank Stevenson. And we stayed on Ringling Brothers. We went to Las Vegas. We went on some different shows. And we were in the amusement park that Mr. Feld started down in Haines City, Florida. We had my daughter, Georgia.
Which is also Circus World, right?
Oh, yes.
Or that's what it was
Circus
called.
Circus World.
That's right.
That's what it was called.
Yeah.
And I had my daughter, Georgia, and my son, Liam. And they both continued in the business. And my husband and his two brothers decided they wanted to start a tent company. So they did. They started a tent company, the three brothers, and that's what we did. We left the business because, actually, my husband and I couldn't stand to leave the children at home going to school with grandmas. They had two grandmas and lots of uncles, but it still just broke our hearts to drive away and go on the road. So we decided, let's call all of our agents and tell them we're done. And that's how we got out of the business.
You know, Dan, who started a rodeo and then a lion trainer, and then ends his career as a celebrated clown. Your dad's name was?
Swede Johnson.
Swede Johnson. And your dad is inducted into the International Clown Hall of Fame, which is here in Baraboo, right?
Yes, he is.
For the legacy of his clowning?
Yes, yes.
What's it like when you're growing up and dad's a clown?
Well, he used to tell people, you know, it's really hard to be funny when you don't want to be funny today.
That's true.
But my father had a great sense of humor. And he used to say, there's a very fine line between being funny and being silly. And
true.
He was very careful never to go over that line. So he was a bit more reserved than a lot of clowns, and he enjoyed it a lot, except right at that time in 1969 when he went back to Ringling, he wasn't really up on the youth culture at that time, and he got very upset because they were calling people pigs in those days, and someone referred to him as a pig, and he was crushed, absolutely crushed. And I told him, Dad, don't worry about it. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Because he dressed as a policeman.
I got you.
See? And so he said, why would they call me that?
Yeah. Why do people do anything, right? What was it like growing up around the circus or around the rodeo grounds?
Well, I guess to many people it would have seemed very different, but it was just my life. one of the first jobs I had was cleaning out the elephant truck for the elephant that didn't love me. And my father had me show her in the ring, and she was wonderful, really wonderful. I don't know if it was because I was little, because I started at 8. Maybe my voice or just being small.
Sure.
But she just didn't love me back. But we had lions, and they all loved me. We traveled with everything, all the animals. And, of course, when you have animals, you don't sleep, you don't eat, you don't do anything until they are taken care of first. And everybody's happy. Then you can be happy. And that's the way I grew up. So, you know, with trucks and trailers and different towns every week. And I thought it was perfectly normal, you know. And my friends back in our town that we lived in Florida, they were going to summer camps and all this kind of thing. And I wasn't the least bit interested in any of that. I just liked getting to a new town and seeing what was there and having fun in my own way.
Yeah, without a doubt, life on the road is fun, right? You get to see so many different communities and so many great people across this great nation. So you grow up on the circus, and then you become a mom on the circus. What was it like raising your own children while you were touring on the road?
Well, I guess I was really lucky. I think that that's a very good way to raise your children. And I'm sure you will hear from your next guests the same thing. Our children know when we say don't go somewhere, don't do something, they know absolutely. I will not do that. I'm not allowed to go over there because there could be tigers, there could be elephants, there could be lions, you know. Our children learn at a very early age a good responsibility. And I did in my youth. My father said, you don't go here, you don't leave in front of the trailer, you have your animals here, you don't go over there, you don't touch them. And that's what these kids all learn. And it seems to transfer into adulthood. And you become a very responsible person.
Did you think that your kids would continue on in the business?
We didn't push them into anything, but they had that bug. So they went on. My daughter performed with us a bit when she was younger. My son never did, but they still had this bug about circus, their heritage, and of course Ringling. They were both very interested in Ringling, and they went on to be in. They weren't performers; they were in different positions. So
the circus behind the circus.
Yes. They have had so much that we didn't have because they've been through the whole thing. You know, the performing and the backside of the show, you know.
Now you join and marry into a legendary circus family, and your name changes from
Johnson to Stevenson.
To Stevenson.
Yes, the Stevenson family. I met my husband on Ringling Brothers, and he was there with his family, which included one brother and two sisters and his mother. And they were bareback riders and had, in my opinion, one of the best dog acts in the business. I can say that because at one point I was looking in.
Right.
So I did go into the act after I married him, but everybody was amazed at this dog act. It was just one of the finest acts I've ever seen.
It's very true. To this very day, anybody that saw it speaks with great reverence about it, right?
It really, really was outstanding.
Yeah. Very much so. And why do you think so? What made it outstanding?
I think they had a different idea about tricks for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the dogs did one trick, and they did one trick really well. And they had a lot of dogs, trust me. And my mother-in-law, Lucy Stevenson, mm-hmm. she was a brilliant dog trainer, brilliant. And she started her day with the dogs in the morning, and she was with the dogs all day until they went to sleep at night. And she would practice. They practiced every day. Every day they were in the ring practicing in the mornings. And their tricks were just different than I had ever seen. They came from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had never seen a dog act with such fantastic tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so thrilled to get to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just was really exciting, very exciting.
What was your favorite moment performing with the dogs? Do you have a special memory of a special occasion?
Well, yes. I did it one trick that I really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister-in-law, Dinah,
yes,
she would put me on her shoulders, and I would have a dog on my head and stand up, and the dog would sit up on my head, and then we would all come down, and we did what was called the jumps and rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fast, and it's the dog jumping over and a person jumping over and the dog jumping over and the three of us going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that trick. I that was my favorite.
Nice. I think that was one of the beautiful things about the Stevenson Dog Act was the incorporation of the family with the dogs.
And yes, yes.
In many ways, a troop act.
It was, and
right?
You didn't see that. I had never seen that before. Usually when it was a dog act, it was a one-person deal.
Mm-hmm.
And here was an entire family. And it was just, people used to stand at the back, at the curtain, and watch them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very outstanding act. Outstanding.
Very true. I'm going to jump tables here, Mr. Corey. This is going to be exciting. New territory for the camera.
All right.
Good morning, Petrov Zhilak family. How are you all over there?
Hello, hello. Good.
Good morning.
Nice. It's morning, early morning. Let's start with Mr. Alex Petrov. Good morning, Alex.
Hello.
So speaking of growing up in the circus, you're a prime candidate to talk about this topic. What was it like for you growing up in the circus? And where did you grow up? Where's home for you?
Okay, I'm born in Bulgaria,
mm-hmm.
but most of my days I always been in the circus since little kid. I was brought to the country when I was 45 days old because my parents at that time, they perform, I believe at the same time when the Stevensons were
yes.
on the greatest show on earth. And as well, Vicky's parents were at the greatest show on earth at that time, so that was my first home, the greatest show on earth.
And a home that remained with you for the majority of your life, is that
for
fair
a very
to say?
Long time, yes.
Yeah, definitely a home. What did the family do? What kind of act brought them to America?
In that time, they were performing A Perch on the Wire. For that, they were famous. And eventually, it became Perch on the Wire. Then second act, it was a Russian Swing.
Mm-hmm.
For that time, that was something new brought to the United States.
Mm-hmm. And you yourself presenting Perch on the Wire later on. For those that might not have seen that act or might not know what we're talking about with Perch on a Wire, can you describe what that is? Because it's a very unique presentation of a perch pole act that not too many people have ever accomplished to the level that your family has.
Yes, it's basically a person puts a long pole, a perch,
yeah,
on his forehead, and on the top it's a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And the same person, as it balances it, he balances on top of the wire and crosses it from one end to the other end. It's It's a little bit different. You need to think a few things at the same time and feel a few things at the same time. Mm-hmm. But when I was young, that was one of my favorite acts to perform.
And did a family member teach you how to do the act?
Of course. My father was the main coach, you know, and as well later on, he was my biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. And what's that like working with Dad? Is that challenging some days? Because not only your coach, he's your dad, and then you're probably going to go back to a trailer or a train room together.
When I was a kid, I hated it. After that, when I grew up and I felt him, he was like my best friend at that time.
Sure.
And then now as I'm father, I understand why he did many of the different stages of practice and how to perform and everything, because I see it, my kids are going the same way. You know, and they are on the stage, they know everything.
Right.
Which when I was young, I felt the same, like I knew everything, and I realized I didn't knew everything.
Very true. How long did it take you to learn how to do the perch act?
Do you know, Scott, it didn't take me too long. It took me only 3 months. Mm-hmm. But before these 3 months, I was prepared. I knew how to walk wire. I knew how to balance a perch in a different tricks. I was as well, one of the tricks I was doing rollabola with the perch. Then I would climb a ladder and balance the perch. You know, I will hang, suspend, hanging from my hands on a two loops on a winch, and I will balance a perch, which is raising me in the air. So that's why the wire wasn't difficult for me. It was basically just to combine it, and it was fun.
Nice. How many generations of your family in the circus?
I'm the third generation.
Third generation. Very nice. Talk me through a little bit more of your career, because I know you start off doing perch and perch incline, but at some point animals enter into your life. How did that happen?
When I was a kid and we was on the greatest show on earth, on the Red Unit, at that time Gunter Gable Williams was there, and his son, Mark Gable, Mark Oliver, we are almost the same age, so we grew up together. And as a kid, I didn't want to do the family affair acts. I wanted to be with animals. That was something what I enjoyed. And when I was saying it to my father at that time, he was like, you can do whatever you want to, but you need to learn the family affair, the family business. So that's how it happened. And after, when we returned to the Wriggling show, when I was already older, and that was a good beginning for me to work again with Mark Oliver Gable, with Gunter. And in that time, I was still doing the family acts and as well working with animals.
Out of all the diverse species you've had the opportunity to work with, what was the most unique?
I really enjoy performing with elephants and tigers. They're very smart. They pick up very fast. It's a lot of fun working with them. It's a lot of work taking care of them. But this is how I felt.
What's the difference between the two species when you're working with them? Do you have to have a different approach, or is it a similar approach?
I mean, with both species, you need to pay attention because they can hurt you. But the main thing I will say is be honest with them. And they are honest with you. And compared to the people, if one animal don't like you, he don't like you. You can work with it, but that animal don't like you, and he'll let you know. With the humans, don't go. They say they like you, but that's not true.
So who had the idea to work with kangaroos?
Mr. Felt.
And what was that experience like?
It was something different. We never knew what is it to work with kangaroos. We actually worked with me and my wife, Vicky. And it was a mixed act what involved llamas, donkeys, goats, and kangaroos. And it was a good experience. It was very scary at the beginning, not that the animal, it can hurt you. It was basically I didn't want it to do nothing to harm that animal. Mm-hmm. So it was very quickly we had to self-educate towards kangaroos, what they like, what they don't like, what diseases they can mm-hmm. suffer from. And in that way, after 2 years, I felt comfortable.
Yeah, probably no Kangaroo 101 book to turn to, right?
No.
Yeah. Maybe you could write one. It's a bestseller, Alex. Another chapter to your very
career. One of the first things, when we get the kangaroos, I was like, I need to learn how to catch that kangaroo. Just in case mistake happen and I can lose it, I need to know. Because they were already old enough, and they will not come to you as a pet. Mm-hmm. So, and it was, I had to go on YouTube, search videos, how in Australia they catching the kangaroos just with bare hands. Mm-hmm. So I tried it. I had the facility, one tall fence, and where we would let the kangaroos during the day on the grassy area. And I would go inside and I would try to catch them. At the beginning, didn't look nice and nowhere near. I was close. And after that, it started coming out where I knew how to catch a kangaroo. And that's how you feel more comfortable, you know. It's like sometime you need to protect it and catch it. And by the end, actually, we can walk them in the same way as basically you catch the tail, and you steer the kangaroo in which direction to walk.
So as a dad to kids in the circus and a dad to animals in the circus, which one's easier?
None of them. Both of them, they need a lot of care, a lot of explaining. It don't matter what, even if they grow, you're still looking after them, you still worry for them. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice feeling when you see them both performing and mm-hmm. and being part of the magical world, what is called circus.
So in the magical world of the circus, I assume at some point the lovely lady that's seated to your right caught your eye. How did that happen?
That happened. She was on the show, and she was part of the riding the elephants. Mm-hmm. And that's how everything started, when I would help her to get on the elephant and then come down from the elephant. And
that's a unique first date.
Yeah. And
what was the elephant? Do you remember?
Asan.
Ah, very nice.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, we have Asan to thank for this matchmaking, right? Vicky, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm third generation. My parents, my grandparents been in the circus. I've been in circus, of course, my kids too. I've been always in the circus. I also finished the circus school in Hungary. My parents were always very pushing on me to also finish the school, so they put me into the circus school as well. That was always in the morning from 8 to 12 o'clock, and then from 1 o'clock till 6 o'clock was the real school. My mom was always pushing, you know, a lot to finish real school as well, because on the circus it is so hard to find school, you know, because usually you don't have school traveling with you. I was also lucky because my parents worked on Circus Krone in Germany for 6 years, and they had a school, so I learned there as German as well, which in the circus business is pretty common to know more languages, because you're around so many people, so many different cultures, So you pick up some languages, you know. Of course, when you're in school there, or when you have friends, or when you get older, you want a boyfriend. So, you know, you start to pick up some different languages just to get to know each other. But yeah, I'm third generation. We've been always jugglers. My grandparents been juggling on a slack wire. Slack wire is, it means when the wire is not tight, it's loose. My grandfather and grandmother worked that act. And then my dad, of course, he was born into the circus and he started the juggling. And my mom and my dad met at Ringling Brothers, of course. That's my history too. That's how I met Alex, my husband. And that's where I've been, yeah, on Ringling Brothers, Marum and Bailey. We met, same as my parents. And that's what I was teaching my kids as well. They are jugglers. Sophia does also, my daughter, she does also aerial. And yeah, with Richie, we've been juggling now for quite a while. And this year, first time now here at Circus World, it's a trio juggling. So it's a different experience for all three of us. Because, of course, when you're together, just the two of us, we already had the rhythm, you know, we have the movements. And when you get a third person, it's always, of course, the tricks are there, but you also have to get the rhythm, the feeling of each other. It's the same, I guess, with any act. If you have a new animal or a new person, it's the same. You have to build up that relationship, build up the timing, so you feel each other.
Yeah, it's very true. I always thought it would make a good thesis sometime for some researcher to figure out how many families came together because of Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, and how many tentacles of generations of people that were brought together and then got married, formed their own kids, and they went out. I bet it's maybe truly the greatest show on earth.
Yes, truly.
The legacy of that. Yeah. Say, friends, we're talking to legendary circus families here today on Circus Week Live. We're going to give all of us, ourselves included, an opportunity for a little break, and we'll see you back here on the other side of this commercial.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Hosting a graduation bash? Let Pizza Ranch in Baraboo handle the catering. Call 608-448-2215 to book your delicious spread. Plus, don't worry about our ongoing construction. Our buffets are still running from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Come and enjoy the all-day buffet while we work on the new fun zone at the Baraboo Pizza Ranch.
With a look at some of the upcoming area events, here's your Max FM community calendar. The Big Top Parade returns to downtown Baraboo. It's a full weekend of live entertainment and circus-themed events. And then the Big Top Parade steps off at 11 a.m. You can find all of the details and see the many events that are taking place around the parade and all of the Big Top shows by visiting BigTopParade.com. And of course, the parade will be broadcast on TV 43 and live on the Max FM Facebook page. And also on Saturday, June 8th, it's time for the annual Sauk County Dairy Breakfast. This year, it's going to be hosted at United Dreams Dairy, located in North Freedom. Wonderful breakfast offerings, as well as live entertainment. $8 for adults, $4 for children 7 to 12, and kids are free if they're 6 and under. There will be room to park at the farm. No shuttle buses this year. Just look for the signs. And again, this is going to be happening at United Dreams Dairy, located on Zeck Road in North Freedom. 7 a.m. until 11 a.m., the Sauk County Dairy Breakfast on Saturday, June 8th. And Portage will be hosting its citywide garage sales on Thursday, June 6th through Sunday the 9th. Get all the details by visiting portagewi.com. Click on citywide garage sales and you'll see a map of all the locations that will be participating this year.
Are you looking for the right financial institution to assist with all your deposit and banking needs? Hi, I'm Kathy Mackesy, a personal banker with Bank of Wisconsin Dells. Here at BWD, we strive to provide a customized banking experience focused on your individual financial needs. Whether you're looking for mobile banking, checking or savings accounts, or perhaps something with a higher return, we have you covered. Stop in today and let us show you what community banking is all about.
Member FDIC. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot, you can upgrade your home with up to $2,400 off select kitchen packages from top brands like Maytag. Enhance your kitchen with the exclusive Maytag French door refrigerator and fingerprint-resistant stainless steel, only at the Home Depot. And with dual power filtration on the Maytag tall tub dishwasher, you can skip soaking and scrubbing. Right now, get Memorial Day savings up to $2,400 off select kitchen packages at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Pricing valid May 16th through June 5th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
And welcome back live to Circus World in Baraboo as we celebrate Circus Week Live and everything leading up to the big circus parade coming up on Saturday through downtown Baraboo. Our live broadcast on our YouTube and Facebook pages, as well as TV 43. If you still have the old-fashioned antenna, Scott, you can still watch over the air in crystal clear, high definition on 43.1 here in the Baraboo area. It'll also be on cable channel 10 in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells. Our broadcast kicks off at 10 a.m. with a big pre-show, and then the parade comes down the street at 11 o'clock. So make sure you join us on Saturday.
What's an old-fashioned antenna? Like those rabbit ear things?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the like pliers with on the...
Yep.
On the dial
or
on your TV,
old,
and you had
old,
the
yeah mast outside with the
right.
Yeah, that still
got
works.
Some tin foil hanging off it. And
yeah,
yeah. Heck of it. Those still exist, huh?
They exist and they
That's
still work.
Fascinating.
And it's even works with your digital television.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's free.
The
Did
more
I mention
you know.
Free?
It should be free. Right? Oh my gosh! Do you remember those, Ian?
Well, I remember getting outside on our trailer, and my husband said, turn it again.
More to the left.
There you go. Then there was the dish craze, and you had to, like, race onto the lot, be the first to try and get power so that you could find the signal for your DirecTV dish.
We didn't have that.
Uh-oh. Well, you missed some joyful days doing that,
yes.
Let me tell you. Everybody was beep, 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 beep.
Before the DirecTV dish,
yeah.
I was in Europe, and there was Sky.
Sky,
they're
sure.
About three times the size.
Right.
So when you travel that on top of the trailer, your wallet was bending.
Yeah. Hope for no wind. Now it's, Mr. Mustang? Starlink.
Starlink, yeah.
Starlink, mm-hmm. Yes.
We were excited when there was the first VCR, because we could rent movies and watch movies and things in the trailer.
Gosh.
And cartoons for the kids. Kept them occupied.
Georgia still watches those cartoons.
I know.
That's how we keep her occupied.
Yes,
that's
I
very
know.
True. You never watch cartoons.
She does.
Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Boy, we've gone all around the horn here on watching TV. That's part of growing up on the circus and life on the circus, because you're traveling from town to town. You don't get to plug into a cable receptacle and watch the local news. Sometimes you do. Most often than not, we're on the local news doing a PR thing for the circus being in town. And nothing better than a 6 a.m. live remote from the circus. It's fresh. We're at our best at that time.
In costume.
In costume. That's right. Set, dressed, everything ready to go. Yes. Speaking of set, dressed, and ready to go, let's introduce Richie. To Richie, welcome this morning.
Hello, hello.
Richie, tell us a little about yourself and your joyful journey in the circus.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm fourth generation along with my sister. We've both been born into the circus.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Budapest, Hungary, and then my mom came over with the Ringling Brothers show with a horseback juggling troupe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent the rest of my youth growing up on the Ringling Brothers show. I graduated high school there. Did some online college courses for graphic design there. My first performances were there when I was around 9-10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I started performing a duo juggling act with my mom in the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the first time was on the gold unit. Yeah, that was the first time I performed. And then I went on to doing PRs, things like that. And then, yes, we started doing other touring shows. And then we came on over to Circus World Museum. And this is our fourth summer here and going strong.
Going strong. So growing up on the show, being surrounded by so much international talent, what was an act that you would watch when you were a kid that caught your attention?
An act that I would watch as a kid that caught my attention. The first one that comes to mind, honestly, was the elephant act. Mm-hmm. I remember many times the nursery, because we had caretakers there. We had a little traveling nursery, a traveling school. When I was in the nursery, sometimes it would take us into the seats to watch the show. And I just remember always loving the end of the elephant act when they would do the long mount. That would be always my favorite one to watch when I was a little child. And then as I grew up, I loved watching the acrobatic acts like teeterboard, Russian bar, things like that.
Did you ever have a moment when you were growing up thinking, I don't know if the circus is for me. I'm going to set myself on being a doctor or a lawyer or an astrophysicist or...
When I was growing up, there was a point where I'm like, ooh, I had an interest in being a vet, because I liked, growing up in the circus, I was always exposed to the animals, you know, tigers, elephants, horses, ponies, everything. My mom worked with the animals there. She did the camel act, the horse act, things like that. So I was always exposed to animals. And at a young age, I always watched Animal Planet, Steve Irwin. I loved Steve Irwin, all the Crocodile Hunter stuff. I'd always, between the shows, go out, play around and try and catch bugs and lizards and things like that. So I always had a...
Put the snake skin under the bed.
Snakes under the bed.
Catching snakes and things.
Snakes
like
on a plane,
that.
Yes. Snakes under the bed, huh?
Snakes under the bed. I collected the snake skin. I found a snake skin. I thought it was very intriguing. I was like, oh, I'm going to keep that for myself.
Sure. That must have been fun to find.
But yes, I always had a fascination with the animals. So I thought, oh, if I don't do circus, I can be a vet. I can help take care of the animals, because we always had traveling vets on the show. So that was one thing that intrigued me at one point.
Mm-hmm. Now, outside of juggling, you are stepping into the spotlight as announcing and ringmastering. What's it like to, I always say it's a bit death-defying on the circus to be able to talk for a living, because it's just you, right? You have to fill in the dead air and the dead time, and you got to not get tang-tungled.
Yes,
and
definitely.
There's a lot of pressure when you're standing there.
Most likely, yes. When I was doing the juggling act, just doing like performing acts, it never came to my mind how much, like how you said, how much energy goes into doing the ring mastering portion of things. It is, when I do the juggling act, it feels like it goes so fast. But when we're doing like the opening number, or I'm announcing, or like now this year I'm doing one of Chase's gags with him, it feels like the time just goes so much slower, and like everything is very dependent on what you say and what you're doing in that moment.
And I'm going to guess that you grew up around some legendary ringmasters. Did you get any advice from any of your...
Fellow colleagues
or great uncles or aunts?
My father, Mr. Jonathan Lee Iverson, my unofficial father.
Yes.
Yes, I grew up around many ringmasters, Jonathan Lee Iverson, Mr. Chuck Wagner, who is coming in the Al Ringling Theater soon. Andre McLean.
Okay.
Andre McLean. Yes, sure. I've had many David Shipman as well. Yeah, they've given me lots of advice. I've had many conversations with them of, you know, things to work on, things to improve on, things that help during or help for ringmastering, things like that, for sure.
And do you see yourself doing more of this deviation from the juggling career?
Yes, I do. I do. Okay. I like it. I'm working on my voice, my singing notes.
Okay. How's that going, family?
Bad.
And with that, Sophia has entered the conversation.
Bad.
Sophia, welcome. What's it like with your brother trying to learn how to sing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am the younger fourth generation.
Yes?
Well, growing up with Richie, it's interesting. We had our fair share of fights.
Sure.
Recently, now that he is becoming a singer, a vocalist, we yes. should say.
Right.
It's better that he has his separate room.
Okay.
But when he does come to the trailer and thinks he can sing opera and all these genres, it...
She loves my singing. No, she just doesn't want to admit it.
Now he sings French, too.
Yes.
Oh.
We.
Trying.
Okay. And Edith Piaf in the making here.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Very nice. Sophia, as the youngest in the family, what's it like being the youngest in the family growing up in the circus?
I mean, that aspect of the family coordination stays the same, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Just like any other family, being the youngest.
Yes.
Has its pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been, I don't want to say we were always brought up the same, but regarding discipline, practice, strict, anything like that, schooling, anything. It was always the same between us. It was always, school was always a priority. Practice was always a priority. So really anything Richie had to do, I had to do too. Mm-hmm. Or if there was animal practice in the morning, you had to be there for animal practice in the morning, which is probably one of the best experiences you can have, you know, always being able to be exposed to all these things, doing things, not just sitting at home and waiting. Oh, okay, now I got to go to school. You have a schedule. Growing up with a schedule also allows you to grow with responsibility and discipline.
What has your year been like being inserted into the family juggling duo, which is now a trio?
It's been...
How's that experience been?
Overall,
yes.
I am very appreciative of it, and uh-huh. I have enjoyed it a lot. I've grown to get comfortable in it, keep my nerves calm. With juggling, it's different than with aerial, mm-hmm. which I've been doing for so long. Aerial, I've been in solo situations only, of course. It's only me. I put the act together. I either ask for help or anything. So I know that's depending on me. I just have to focus on myself. Whereas coming into this, not only with another person, but with two other people who already were established and know each other in that sense of work. It was different. It was definitely challenging. I mean, we practiced all of last summer already. So even if the tricks were down and we were able to feel comfortable with the tricks, like my mom had mentioned, the rhythm of it, finding yourselves, not getting in this other person's way who already has their flow when doing a certain something. But definitely when we first started, the very first time at the beginning of the year, it was very nerve-wracking for me, especially with the juggling. Like mm-hmm. I said, the juggling is a lot more dependent on your actual skill set of like hands, and you get nervous and you shake and all these things hit you. But now that I've been able to do it for, what has it been, a few months now?
Since the
4 months, 5 months,
the year.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year.
I've definitely learned to calm down and remain calm and try my best. And another thing that happens in the trio, it should be easier when you have more people in an act. It really should. But sometimes it isn't. But when you can become comfortable and you can benefit each other, that's when it's really going to be able to harmonize as well. Because even if I make a mistake, they're able to fix it sometimes. Or if they make a mistake, I try my best to fix it. So you really have to try and just unify in order to present the best you can.
Very good today with the harmonize and unify. I'm very impressed.
My vocabulary woke up.
So, Sophia, growing up in the circus, even to this very day, what do you do outside of circus? Like, if you're traveling around, how do you get time to be youthful? You're living with parents and you're in maybe a new town every day, how do you...
Usually
what
with
do you do
friends,
to get away and
with other people on the show or mm-hmm. even with family, the whole cast goes out.
Right.
We do a lot of like outings together as a family usually because
sure.
if one of us has time, most of the time all of us have time mm-hmm. or if all of us are busy, you know. But we try to go out, find cool restaurants, cool places. If we're in bigger towns, kind of try to explore. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, there is also instances, depending on where you're working or what you're doing, how long
sure.
you're there.
Yep.
Sometimes you don't have time to go out.
Right.
Sometimes you have to find, I want to say, you have to enjoy the city through the audience sometimes. Because some audiences are better than other audiences. And even if you aren't able to go out into town, you'll look back and you remember, you know what? That audience in that town was actually really good. Mm-hmm. So even if you can't make it out, you try your best to enjoy the city in the ways you can.
Speaking of good audiences in a city, how was the recent Luis Miguel concert that you went to?
That was fantastic.
It was.
That was fantastic. I mean, it was a long drive. Not too bad, 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But it was well worth it. And mm-hmm. it was in an arena that I have actually many memories in growing up on Ringling. Mm-hmm. We played it every first year in November. I had my birthday held in that building, the Allstate Arena down in Rosemont. Allstate Arena. And we had talent shows there a lot mm-hmm. of the time. My 9th birthday.
The haunted clown car.
I was nice. Not a fan of those, but that's just me. But yes.
I always find it interesting when circus folk talk and tell stories. It's like they know towns by the building.
Oh, yeah.
Or the parking. Or how far the train was away from the building. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times when we're passing through cities now, when we're doing tours and things, and we mention a city, I'm like, I ask my mom, I'm like, I don't remember the building. What happened there? Can you tell? And then she tells me this and this. I'm like, oh, that building. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very true. It's home is buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Or tents or lots, for sure. Vicki, talk a little bit about the importance of family traditions being passed down from generation to generation. So those of us that know that your dad is a legendary juggler who is a champion for the circus arts. What's it like growing up underneath a legendary performer? What's it like with him guiding your juggling journey from afar? Because he's still very active, right? From afar.
Yes, yes,
probably listening right now to this.
Most probably, yeah. He loves
probably.
These things. it was, how to tell you, good and bad, you know, everything has positive and negative sides. My dad has been always very strict with me and my brother, which was, I think, on the long run. Of course, when you're young, you don't understand it. You know, it gets on your nerves. You're like, oh, my God. But then once you get older, you start to appreciate all what he's been teaching you and telling you over and over and over. So that's what I try to give my kids to. Maybe not so strict, but it's the same thing with the practice. Especially juggling is a skill what you need to practice all the time, a lot of every day almost. And if you want to advance in it, you have to practice even more. And how the kids say it, you know, once you get into this, once it comes to the act itself, you get so hyped, even from the audience. You get nervous, maybe even the trick doesn't always happen. So it, I try to give the same advices as my dad gave to me. And yeah, how I said, he was always very strict, always pushing us to be better, and that's what I try to give my kids as well.
It's a quest for perfection, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's such a hallmark of the circus, the timeless traditions of the circus that are passed down from generation to generation. The world over, it doesn't matter whether you're a Mongolian teeter board act or a Cossack horse rider or a legendary Irish dog act. all of the traditions remain the same, and that's what we try to celebrate here daily at Circus World. You know, I think when so many folks come to see the circus, they watch the show, but they don't always think about those generations of customs and traditions and knowledge about the art form of the circus that gets passed down and is presented seamlessly to you as an audience underneath a big top or in an arena someplace across America. We hope that you connect to the circus art someplace, because there's over 50 circuses crisscrossing America at this very time. Take a look out for them. They might be at your county fair. They might be in your local arena. They might be in your high school gym. But they're there.